Hey everybody, welcome to The Fix. This is a podcast about post-processing and the cool and creative things we get to do with our images after the shoot. I'm Sean Duggan, and on this week's show, we're going to be doing one of our occasional kicking the tires shows, and the tires in question for this week are on the latest version of Photoshop that was released just a little over a week ago. Photoshop CC 2015.5. There were several new features that were released in this version, but we're going to be concentrating on a few of them that are of the most interest to photographers. Well, thanks very much for tuning in and joining me. I do appreciate that. So before we dive into our main topic this week, which is the photographer-centric features of the new version of Photoshop CC, I just have a couple of announcements to go over real quick. The first up is a shout-out to viewer and listener Chad Hill. And Chad was the winner of the recent Rocky Nook book giveaway from a few episodes back. And Chad won a copy of The Visual Palette, Defining Your Photographic Style by Brian Matias. Brian was a guest a few episodes back. Great show if you want to look back in our archives and check that out. And if you're interested in the possibility of entering to win another Rocky Nook book, the book giveaway will be back very, very soon. Possibly next week or the week after, but it'll be coming back very, very soon. So congratulations to Chad for winning the book. And also thank you to Rocky Nook for sponsoring our book giveaway. Check out their website, rockynook.com. They have a lot of great books. All right. Next up is I do have a couple of workshops coming up in late July and early August. I just want to mention again, the first one in late July is on July 31st. It's in the San Francisco Bay Area. It's a camera phone photography and processing workshop. It's called iPhonography, Creative Capture and Processing Techniques. Although, you know, even though it is called iPhonography, it is open to Android camera phone users. And that workshop actually was originally on Saturday, July 30th, but that day sold out so fast that we had to add a second day on the following Sunday. So there are still some spots open on the Sunday, July 31st class, although it is filling up, but we still do have some spots open. So if you're in the San Francisco Bay Area and are interested in creative capture and processing techniques for camera phone photography, check it out. I'll put a link in the show notes. Mill Valley is just north of San Francisco, just kind of right on the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge on the northern side of the bay. The other workshop I have coming up is in Maine at the Maine Media Workshops. Hey, the Maine Media Workshops. And that is my Creative Scene, Refining Your Photographic Vision Workshop. And that is going to be August 7th through the 13th. Maine Media Workshops is a great place to get away and just kind of indulge in your creativity. It's kind of like, you know, summer camp for photographers because it really does have this kind of summer camp atmosphere. You know, we eat outdoors under these big tents and there's great food, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And obviously lots of great scenic locations to go and photograph and just a really, you know, wonderful supportive staff and a great location to indulge in your creativity and your photography. Once again, I will put a link to that in the show notes. Okay, on to our main subject, which is Photoshop CC 2015.5. This is a major version upgrade to Photoshop. It's not an update to your previous version of Photoshop. It is a new full version. So what that means is it's not going to update your current version of Photoshop, Photoshop CC 2015. It is going to install a whole new version of Photoshop on your computer. So one of the things that means is that you will have to reinstall all of your plugins into this new version of Photoshop. So if you are using plugins such as, for instance, the Nik Collection by Google, some of the On1 plugins, Mac Fun software, Photomatics, things like that. You are going to have to reinstall those into this new version of Photoshop that you download through your Creative Cloud connection. Now, rather than go into all of that here in terms of the details of getting your plugins working again, I'm going to provide a link in the show notes to a really excellent article by Jeff Tranberry from Adobe Systems, who covers that in an FAQ that he wrote when the new version of Photoshop was released. So, but just realize that this is a new version of Photoshop. You will still have your old version of Photoshop in your applications folder or your programs folder, and you'll also have this new one, Photoshop CC 2015.5. So just realize that it is a full version upgrade. As to, you know, we're obviously in 2016, but they're calling it 2015.5. Well, you know, I'm not sure about that. My guess is probably we'll see another major version of Photoshop sometime before the end of the year. Just a hunch, but that's what my sense is. Anyway, there are several new features in the new version of Photoshop. Some of them are more design-oriented and deal with type and art boards and things like that. And then some of them are more photography-oriented. Obviously, since this is a show dealing more with the photography side of Photoshop, obviously we're on thisweekinphoto.com, so our main audience is photographers. I am going to be concentrating on what I feel are the most significant new features that would be of interest to photographers. And there are three of them that we're going to cover in this episode. There is content-aware crop. There is the new select and mask task space or workspace. And then there is the face-aware features in the liquify filter. So some very interesting things that are in the new Photoshop CC. Let's dive in and take a look. Well, our first stop in terms of the new features in Photoshop CC 2015.5 is the content-aware crop tool. So essentially, what the content-aware crop tool is going to do for you is that it's just going to save you some steps, because in the past, if you needed to, for instance, straighten out the horizon of an image, as is the case with this photograph here, and you cropped it to straighten the horizon, you would be left with these little slivers of either white or transparent area on the sides, because as it rotates the image and crops in order to give you that look, it is going to result in the top, bottom, and sometimes the sides being a little off skew, and there's going to be just these little slivers of empty space. In the past, what you would do is you would then go into the content-aware fill functionality and see if that would work to fill in that detail. And if it didn't work out for you, you would have to then move on to other more in-depth editing procedures, maybe perhaps involving the clone stamp tool or creating copy layers and readjusting them, whatever. But what the content-aware crop functionality is going to do for you is it's going to handle that all in one step. Cropping the image, perhaps rotating it to straighten a crooked horizon, and filling in the detail that would normally be visible in those transparent or white strips. So let's take it for a test drive here on a fairly simple image. I took this in New Mexico a few years back. I just was really taken by the contrast here, the image of the older woman looking out at the landscape and her pink sweater, her white hair, and then that blue sky and the greens of the distant landscape. Let me just actually go down one step here in terms of the size of the image by pressing Command minus or Control minus on Windows. And we'll come to our crop tool. I'll just use the shortcut of C on the keyboard. Now up here in the options bar for the crop tool, content aware is where you would turn on this functionality. Now the other thing I want to draw your attention to is this delete cropped pixels checkbox. Now this has been around in Photoshop for a while now, but a lot of people still are not aware of it. If you have that checked, it will permanently delete the pixels that you crop off. But if you have it unchecked, it will allow you to recover those cropped pixels if you change your mind at a later date. So I'm going to leave that unchecked for the moment here. I'm having an issue with commitment this afternoon as I record this. All right, so what I'm going to do is I have the crop tool active now. You can see that here in the tool panel. And as I move my cursor out beyond the boundaries of the image, it turns into a curved double-headed arrow. That is the sign that I can drag to rotate. And once I start to do that, I can see the grid pattern overlay, which helps me line things up. And I really just want to line this up so that the horizon line is more or less, you know, straight horizontal. So I'm using that one grid line there, and I'll just let go of that. So you can see that if I apply this crop here, I am going to have empty spaces in the upper left here, the upper right, the lower right, and also a little bit on the lower left. Now, the areas up in the sky are going to be fairly easy for the content to wear crop to fill in. The areas where there could potentially be some issues are here on the edge of her sweater, and also just kind of here in the background where we can see this kind of bushes and sagebrush in the background. Sometimes it ends up with a little bit of noticeable repeating patterns. So that's always something you have to take into consideration and be on the lookout for. So I'm just going to press the Enter key. I could also click the check mark icon here in the option bar to apply that. And we'll let Photoshop look at that and think about it and think about the best way to fill in those areas. And you know, for this image, it did a really great job. The areas that I thought it might have an issue with, such as the edge of the sweater here, did a great job. Down here in the landscape in the lower right, and also the lower left, I don't really see too much in the way of repeating patterns. Well, actually, no, I take that back. I do see a repeating pattern right here. You can see this little brush is the same as this. And these little things here, which actually now look like kind of strange shadowed alien faces with antennae, those are obviously the same. So to fix that, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to get my clone stamp tool. I'll tap S for that. And I'll just come over here and I'll copy some of this same line here of the landscape, but from another area, and I'll just kind of come in here and cover that up so we don't see that. So that introduces an element of randomness into the image where we don't notice those repetitions so easily. So that's always something that is really important to pay attention to after you apply a change, such as this content-aware crop, or any kind of content-aware fill. I see the same thing over here on the bottom lower right. Again, I'm just going to copy some other detail that's very similar to that and kind of get rid of that. A little bit of a duplication of this one little shape right here from right here. So let me just go back to that. So, all right, that looks pretty good. I think that we can call that a wrap. Let's go and give it a different image that maybe is going to provide some more problems. So part of the reason or part of the rationale behind the whole kicking the tires theme when we test out a new version of Photoshop or Lightroom or some other program is that instead of just doing demos that I know are going to work, I want to do demos where you know, it's going to work well. I want to point out to you when it'll work really well, and you probably won't even have to worry about it, such as the previous image. You know, we did have a few little issues in that previous image, but they weren't anything major. But I also want to give it images that might cause problems, or rather might cause, prevent, might create challenges for the tool to where it doesn't do as good a job as you would hope. So anytime you have an image with a lot of really intricate high frequency detail, kind of more busy detail, that's when it could have a problem. So let's go to the crop tool here. Again, we have the same issue where the image is crooked, so I'm just going to straighten it out. And I'm just kind of eyeballing this by looking at the grid line here along the line of the river. So in the upper, in the sky areas, the upper corners of the image is not going to have any problem at all. Probably in the lower right corner, which is just river detail, it's not going to have any issue. Might have an issue here on the side, on the left side, where there's also some buildings. Let's just tap the Enter key and see what it comes up with. And let's zoom up close, and we'll look at the area in question where I thought it might have an issue. Again, I'm looking at the building area here on the side. If I just use my undo key, we can sort of see that what it's trying to do is fill in this. It's done a pretty good job, but of course, if I was to make a large print of this image, I would notice this this weirdness here over on the left side. By the way, that is a technical term, weirdness, when you're referring to strange little digital artifacts that are the result of something such as using content-aware crop. Down here, this building, it's doing a pretty good job there. I might not notice that, but my advice to you, if you're using this functionality, this feature, is to always pay attention to the edges, because it's going to do a great job in uncomplicated edges, edges that have a lot more high-frequency detail. It might have more problems. Let's give it one more image here. Again, here we are in New York, as we were with the previous image. I'm going to get my crop tool, and I'm just going to straighten this. Now, I can't really straighten this equally on both sides, because I can straighten up the verticals on this side, but then they start to tilt on the other side. So I'm not really worrying too much about straightening it for all the verticals. I'm just going to do it like that. Again, the places where the detail is uncomplicated, like up in the sky, it's probably going to do okay. The places where there are more complicated detail, regions of the image that need to be extended, that's where it's going to potentially run into problems. Let's see what it does. And once again, I do have the content aware option checked up here in the options bar. And we'll let Photoshop think about it and see what it looks like. Already I can see a little bit of a problem. So down here in the lower left, again, let's zoom up close so you can be sure to see that. You can see that there is this kind of strange blending of the edges. Now, it's possible that could pass. Maybe it just looks like, you know, shoddy architecture or shoddy building practices. It looks a little bit odd there. So, you know, there's a little bit of an issue there that might definitely be noticeable if I was going to make a large print. Here, let's look at the lower edge. Looks more or less okay. A little bit of problem with this line down here on the bottom, where it's kind of not straight. That would be easily fixed by copying some of these other lines here. And of course, you know, it did great up in the sky, so I don't have to worry about that. So, the moral of the story here, if there is a moral to the story, is to just realize that the success of content-aware crop is going to vary depending on the visual complexity of the image you are using it on, as well as how much of that more visually complex image detail has to be recreated by Photoshop in order to fill in those edges that normally would be empty after you applied such a crop. Okay, let's move on to the next new feature in Photoshop CC 2015.5 that will be of great interest to photographers, and that is the new Select and Mask task space or workspace in Photoshop. This is essentially an upgrade to the Refine Edge dialog or the Refine Mask dialog that was in previous versions of Photoshop. Now, just to recap, the way it used to work is that you would first have to create a selection of your subject, and then once you had the selection, you know, pretty close to what it needed to be, you would then go into Refine Edge to fix the edges. So, for instance, I could make a selection using the Quick Selection tool of the doll here, and you know, I can get her body pretty good here. Just because there's fairly decent contrast between her body and the background. And I could do something like that. And then what I have to do is that I have to go into the Refine Edge tool to fix, you know, the edges where her hair is extending out here in the front or in the back, et cetera, et cetera. So the cool thing about the Select and Mask task space is that you can either start with a selection, you know, a rough rudimentary selection as I have here, or you can just start with no selection at all and start masking once you're in that task space. So let's take a look at it both ways for now. I'm going to actually use my lasso tool, and I'm going to subtract a chunk from the front of her dress here, so I have a big mistake. And as long as I have a selection tool active, as I do here, the lasso tool, the button for select a mask will appear in the options bar, or you can come up to the select menu and just choose select a mask that way. Now, initially, what it does is it places it in the onion skin mode. So the onion skin mode is the top one here in the view mode menu. Notice how all of these have a single letter keyboard shortcut. These are all pretty useful shortcuts to memorize, or at least memorize the ones that you tend to use the most often, just because it helps in navigating through this. You do have a transparency slider here where you can modify the view of the onion skin here. So you can see a little bit of, you know, both images at the same time. So for instance, on this one here, I have, you know, a big section that I have neglected to select on the dress. The cool thing about the new Select a Mask task space is that you can just come here and actually go over to the tool panel, and you'll see that you have standard selection tools over here. The quick selection tool, the brush tool for working on masks, or the lasso tool. So I can choose the quick selection tool, and I can actually click on this area that I neglected to select initially, and it will add it in there. So that is a huge improvement, because the old way it worked in Refine Edge is you had to essentially exit out of the dialog to go and make further perfections on your selection before you could use Refine Edge. So the ability to have both the Refine Edge controls, which you can see over here on the right side, as well as basic kind of bread and butter selection tools to modify your selection or mask, is really a huge step forward, I think. I'm actually going to cancel this, and I'm going to go in again, but let me choose to deselect my selection. I'm going to show you how I'd go in and do this just from scratch with no selection active. First, let me turn on my adjustment layers that I've already made for this picture. I've got a black and white adjustment layer, and I have a contrast layer, a curves layer, to help pump up the contrast on the doll. And by the way, the reason I'm doing this here is I have this kind of wintry road scene photographed in northern Nevada, and I have, you know, the semi-creepy doll there. Because nothing says summer, you know, like a wintry desert road and a creepy doll. All right, let me turn these things on, and let's make sure my doll layer is active, and I'll just come up and click on the Select and Mask button in the options bar, because, of course, I do have a selection tool active, and that's why that option is there. Let me just play around with the onion skin here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to get my quick selection tool, and in the Select and Mask task space, I'm just going to drag over the shape of the doll to begin to make a selection of that. And you can see how that's all coming in pretty good there. So let's just drag over that. It's having a little bit of problems on the left-hand side, but we'll deal with that here. And obviously it's having some problems here where it's not really getting that strand of hair that is kind of extending out in front of her body. So what I'm going to do is, with my quick selection tool, I'll press the Option key on Mac or the Alt key on Windows to get the subtract functionality, and you can see how I can subtract that out of there. So that's pretty good for now. It's still pretty rough. In fact, if I go to the view mode and I go to the black and white view, shortcut of K, you can see it's a real hard cutout here. It kind of looks like it's cut out with scissors. So definitely not ready for prime time. But what we're going to do is fix this a little bit. So now we're going to go to the Refine Edge Brush tool, keyboard shortcut of R. And I'm going to start to brush over the edges where, you know, the edge of her head is here, where there's some hair sticking out. And if I press or tap K again, you can see how it is modifying that edge to include those parts of the hair there. In fact, if I drag out over where I know that there's this hair extending out over the background. It's going to get that. And then over here on the front of her, there's another hair that's coming out. And you can see how it's adding that in there. So a very useful functionality. Let me actually just tap O to go back to my onion skin mode. And let's just get the rest of this hair on the front here. And let's get the edges of her dress and the back of her dress here and the hair that's coming out over the back of her dress. So overall, I think that that's looking pretty good. Let me actually raise the transparency of the onion skin up to about 100%. That way I can really see how she is looking kind of composited onto the background. And I think that that's looking pretty good there, actually. Now, I do have another option here. And I'm noticing a little bit of dark fringing on the front of her dress there. So I could come down to the Global Refinements tool, and I could move this Shift Edge slider. And you can see how that is changing the edge. It's kind of adding more onto the edge or contracting it where we don't see it as much. So I can modify that. That's okay. That works a lot better, but you do have to be cautious because sometimes, while it might work great in one area, it does funky things in another area. But overall, I think that's working pretty good. I'm just going to brush over this with my Refine Edge tool here to see if I can get that hair looking pretty good. And let's actually just bring that back. Yeah, all right, that's looking pretty cool. Now, in terms of the output here, I can either choose to output this back to a selection. I can output it to a layer mask, a new layer, or a new layer with a layer mask. That's what I'm going to choose. And I am going to choose to decontaminate the edges here. Notice when I do that the dark fringe on the front of the dress is minimized greatly. So you can see how that is working pretty good there. It, of course, is also affecting other edges on the top of her head, but not adversely so. All right, so I'm going to click OK to that. And you can see that what it's done, it has turned off the visibility of the first layer, and it's made a copy layer and added a layer mask to that. I'm actually going to select that layer, and I'm going to choose Command-T on a Mac or Control-T on Windows. I'm going to right-click inside that free transform bounding box, and I'm going to choose to flip horizontal. I think this is going to look a little bit better if she's off to the right side a bit. Just kind of coming in from the edge, something like that. I've got a little bit of the image showing up at the top, so I'll just get my rectangular marquee tool and select that. Then I'll make the layer mask for that layer active, and I'm going to fill that with black. Black is currently my foreground color, so I'll just choose Option Delete or Alt Backspace to fill that with black. And then I can, you know, modify her position there. So there we go. A nice summertime image there of the creepy doll next to the wintry desert road. So definitely very cool improvements to what used to be called the Refine Edge or Refine Mask dialog and is now called the Select and Mask Task Space. Definitely going to make it a lot easier to make selections of masks. All right, well, let's move on to the next stop. In our magical mystery tour of some of the most useful new features for photographers in the latest version of Photoshop. Okay, the final destination here. God, that sounds so dramatic. The final destination. Dun, dun, dun. But I digress. Anyway, so our final stop here in terms of taking a look at new features in the latest version of Photoshop that are of use to photographers is to take a look at the face aware functionality in the Liquify filter. So in order to do this non-destructively, I'm going to convert my layer here into a smart object. I'm just going to right click on that and choose convert to smart object. And I'll come up to the filter menu and I will choose Liquify. And you'll notice in the Liquify controls here over on the right side, that there's an entire new section called Face Aware Liquify. And if I open that up, you can see here that I have different controls for different areas of the face, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, and the face shape. Let's start with the eyes. And you can see here that I can move the eye size slider, make my eyes smaller or larger. I can change the eye height, which makes the eyes seem a little bit taller or not so tall. And the eye width makes them a little bit wider there. The eye tilt is kind of interesting. That's going to tilt the eyes downward on the inside or downward on the outside. So kind of interesting there. Obviously, if you're photographing somebody who has naturally tilty eyes, that's a technical term, by the way, to describe eyes that are tilted a little bit, tilty eyes. You could correct for that there. And then the eye distance just allows us to move them wider apart or closer together. Now, you'll notice that there are limits. You can't really go too extreme on these corrections using these sliders. And that's probably a good thing. Otherwise, you know, every use of this might end up in some bizarre caricature. You could certainly use other aspects of the Liquify filter to create a more cartoonish or caricature type of a look. These are more subtle corrections, and as I said, that's probably a good thing. So that's the eyes there. Let me just make my eyes a little bit bigger here. And let's go down and check out the nose so I can change the nose height. I can make my nose a little bit longer, a little bit shorter, or the nose width. I can make my nose a little bit more thin and aquiline, or a little bit more broad there. And then we have the mouth, and there's a smile slider. I can kind of lessen my smile if I had one, and I can make it a little bit more of a smile. I'm a little bit more pleased to be taking that selfie picture there. Again, there are limits to what you can do, so you can't do anything too strange and cartoonish here. I have a mustache in this picture. I still have a mustache, actually. I'm not sure how well that's going to do here, but it does see the upper lip there. You can see how it's adjusting that. And the lower lip, adjusting that. Not too effective here, I think, in this picture. Mouth width. And then finally, mouth height. And then the last controls that we have are the face shape. I can make my forehead a little bit shorter there or a little bit taller, depending on how I think it would look. My chin height, I can modify that. Pretty trippy there. The jawline, I can make my jawline a little bit more narrow and kind of more triangular there in relationship to the rest of my face or broaden that out. And then the face width, I can, you know, go on a weight loss program and lose a little bit of weight, make myself look a little bit slimmer, something that I'm sure that we all would like in pictures of ourselves. All right, so there you have that. Now, the other thing you can do is you can come over here to the tools, and you can click on the face tool, and then you can click on different aspects of the image. So, for instance, here's the eye. And I can move that eye up or down. So I'm really only affecting that one eye. So that's useful. And then if I grab these other nodes, I can make the eye taller or larger or smaller. And you can see here it's affecting both eyes. I get this diagonal cursor, and I can change the size of the eyes that way and change the width of the eyes, etc. So there's a lot of stuff that you can do. Here's the tilt, dragging on the outside there. That looks pretty freaky. I'm glad I'm doing this with my own photo and not somebody else's photo, because then I would maybe feel guilty that I was cartoonizing their face in this way. I can take my cursor here over the nose, and I can get the nose controls. And again, over the mouth, here's the smile feature, etc. So whether you're using the sliders over in the panel on the right-hand side, or you're actually dragging on the face, there are a variety of ways to do this. I'm just going to click OK to that to save that. Now, you can see here, if I turn this on and off, this is before, and this is after. And I'm just turning the Liquify smart filter on and off. By the way, this is a smart filter because I first converted the layer to a smart object. That is what gives me that kind of non-destructive functionality. And in fact, I could actually double-click on Liquify here in the Layers panel underneath Smart Filter and reopen the Liquify dialog. And you can see that all my settings are there, and I can choose to change those if I wanted to. So that really is the benefit of using, the benefit of applying this type of a filter effect to a layer that has been converted to a smart object, because it does give you the ability to kind of treat that filter effect almost like an adjustment layer where you can come in and modify it after the effect. I'll just choose OK to that there. So that's fairly straightforward. This is a picture. You know, obviously, this is the face. You know, I'm looking straight into the camera, and Photoshop has no problems with that. But in the interest of kicking the tires, I decided to see if there were pictures that it had problems with. And that's always a fun thing to do, you know, whenever a new feature comes out, to see if, are there certain images that it's just not going to work on? So I did find a few images that it won't work on. And if you are listening on the audio version via iTunes or via the website, whatever, I know a lot of people do listen to this podcast to the audio only version. This next picture I'm working on, again, it's a picture of me. I'm wearing a pith helmet, and I'm kind of sort of a three-quarter view, and I'm looking off to the side. So it's kind of my face is really more diagonally oriented to the camera, or rather not diagonally, but I'm not looking straight at the camera. I'm kind of looking off a little bit to the side. But there are still clear facial features. There's my eyes, the nose, the mouth, etc. So let's just go into Filter and choose Liquify. And in this one here, under the Face Aware Liquify panel, it says select face, no face detected. So I can't even move any of these sliders here because it does not recognize a face in this image. I can come over to the face tool, and when I click on that, it says, hey, no faces are detected in this image. So, you know, what's up with that? What's going on? Obviously, there's a face in here, so there are some images where it just may not work, depending on maybe how the face is portrayed in the image, the angle of the face in relation to the camera, or maybe if your subject is wearing a hat or a helmet, as it was the case here in this shot. So let's cancel that, and let's go over to another picture. So same basic setup. I'm wearing a pith helmet again. Same photo shoot. And I'm looking directly into the camera now. My head is tilted to the side. Again, I'm giving you this descriptive information in case you're listening to the audio version. I'll come up to the filter menu. I'll choose Liquify. Once again, it says no face detected. So that's kind of disappointing. And if I come over to the face tool, again, it says, hey, no faces are detected in this image. So that's kind of a bit of a fail in my book. I mean, this is obviously a face. It should be able to see that. What I would really like to see here is the ability to choose the face tool and, you know, somehow define a face in the image, you know, drag a lasso around an area and say, hey, this is the face I want to work with here. And that way you're telling Photoshop, yo, dude, there's a face here. And that way you could recognize that. But at the present time, that is not available here with this feature, at least not that I'm aware of. I've done some searching. I can't find any mention of that. So depending on the headgear that your subject is wearing, or maybe the angle that their face is at, there could be some images where it's not going to work. Here's another picture, really wearing a lot of costume here. This was for one of Russell Brown's Atom conferences a couple years ago. I was the zombie whisperer. That was my my costume here. And again, it says no face detected, and I cannot even choose the face tool. So it doesn't recognize that face at all. So this got me curious, you know, and this is really part of the whole methodology of one of these Kicking the Tires episodes. I got curious. Well, okay, I found three images where the face detection doesn't work. Why is that? Is that because I have a hat on? Is it because I have glasses on as I do in this picture? What's going on? So in an effort to try to figure this out, I actually went and I took some selfies. And so here's one. I've got glasses on. Okay. Let's go and just go into Liquify. And here it finds my face fine. I can change this, the eyes, etc., etc. So that works. It sees the face there. So let's cancel. And I went and I shot another one. I thought, okay, well, let's put a hat on. Okay, there we are with a baseball cap. Let's go back into Liquify. And it sees my face there, so I'm able to adjust, the various aspects of my face there in that picture, even though I do have a hat on. So I'm not sure why that is working. And then I put on a bowler hat, similar to what I had on when I was playing the Zombie Whisperer. And I went into that and chose Filter Liquify. Again, saw my face here. And I'm able to change the size of my eyes, etc. All right, let's cancel that. And then I thought, well, maybe it's because in the Zombie Whisperer photograph, the hat was like pulled down really low. You couldn't see my forehead. Maybe that's what it was, I thought. So I went in and I took another shot. I put on the bowler hat. I purposely pulled it down really low so you couldn't see my forehead. I went in here to Filter Liquify. And hey, it saw my face just fine. I'm able to change the eyes, able to change the face width, etc. So I'm not sure what the issue was, but it definitely had problems on these images here. This shot where I'm wearing the pith helmet looking off to the side. This shot where I'm wearing the pith helmet looking directly into the camera. And then finally, this shot here where I am in costume as the Zombie Whisperer and it had some issues there. Why that is the case, I do not know, but just realize that your mileage may vary depending on how the face looks in the photograph you're trying to work with, whether or not your subject has a hat on or some sort of a costume or whatever like that. There could be some differences there. So let's actually come and do something else here with this, just to show you that this is possible. I'm going to come back to the filter menu and choose Liquify. And I'm going to just do something really crazy here, just so we can see the difference. I'm going to make my eyes really big and wide and bizarre looking. I'm just going to kind of crank most of these sliders out. I look really strange and weird. I'm going to make my nose a little bit smaller and shorter. I will smile more. Hey, that looks like a natural smile. Not. And then I will modify my forehead. And I will also modify my jawline. I'll make this a lot more kind of triangular. Make my face a lot thinner. So that looks really strange. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to come down here a little bit farther down. Let me actually close Face Aware Liquify right now. And there are these load mesh options. I'm going to save this mesh. And I'm going to save this to my Creative Cloud Files folder. I'll change the name to Really Weird. And I'll save that. All right. And I'm actually just going to cancel out of this one here. I don't really want to do that. And let me go find a different image. So here's the shot of me wearing the bowler hat, and I'll come back to Filter, Liquify. And once again, if I really wanted this to be non-destructive, I would be doing this. I would be converting the layer to a smart object first. I haven't been doing this just because I've been quickly going through this. But if you do want it to be non-destructive, using smart object layers would be the way to go. So I'm going to come down here to the load mesh options. I'm going to choose load mesh. And I'm going to go and find that really weird mesh there and choose open. And there we go. You can see how it's applying that exact same mesh to the face. So if you come up with a certain modification that you want to save, that is something certainly you could do. Now, obviously, there are going to be it's going to be different because every face is different, and even a photograph of the same face could be different. So you might have to come in and modify it a little bit depending on the effect you're trying to achieve and the specific phase you're working on. But just realize that being able to save the mesh is a really useful way to save the settings in a specific Liquify session and then apply them to another image. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of The Fix. I hope you found that useful. If you have Photoshop CC and are upgrading, definitely take these features for a test drive of your own. Do some tire kicking of your own on these features to see, you know, where the limits are. And, you know, as I have done in these demos here, maybe try them out on images that might provide some problems or challenges for the features, such as what I ran into with content-aware crop, and also the face-aware features in the Liquify filter. You know, try to find features where it's maybe going to have trouble recognizing the face, because once you know the limits of a particular software feature, or you know what images may cause problems, it'll help you use that feature a little bit more intelligently. And beware of portraits with pith helmets or bowler hats with jawbones on them. Obviously, the face-aware features in Liquify don't like bowler hats with jawbones or pith helmets, at least in my limited experience. So if you head over to our website, thisweekinphoto.com/thefix, you can subscribe to the show, and you'll be notified when new episodes are released. And there's also a contact link. If you go over to the page, top of the page, choose Contact Us, a web form will open up, and open that menu, choose The Fix, and you can send me feedback or suggestions for topics that you'd like to see covered on future shows. I'm Sean Duggan. Thank you very much for tuning in and joining me here. We'll catch you next week on The Fix.